We asked Aoife, as part of the launch of our Lenten campaign, to take 15 minutes in the morning before she left the house, as if she was suddenly forced to flee, and to gather up the sort of five or six things, all that she could carry, that she would want to take with her if she was fleeing, not knowing when she'd be returning. So Aoife, she gathered up her Bible, her journal, her photo album, her camera, her telephone, and her umbrella, which was a very practical thing. And she talked a little bit about how difficult it was, you know, and how initially she wanted to bring a suitcase full and then realized, no, it was what she could carry, and leaving behind things, you know, that were important to her, like paintings and, you know, things belong to the family that had been in the family for many years.
Yeah. And I suppose it's a difficult question for anybody to have to look at, you know, what would I take if I had 15 minutes? But what did you think of her choice? You know, would she have survived?
Well, I suppose it depends on where you were going. I mean, obviously, if you're fleeing, you have some idea of where you might be going to fleeing to. If you were fleeing in an urban area, it might have been okay. But if you were having to flee into the bush, into a rural area, the umbrella would be very useful. The phone possibly would be useful. I'm not sure about the camera and the journal, but, you know, also the comfort of having your photographs around you. And obviously for Aoife, her Bible was very important to her. So different things for different people, I guess. Yeah. And often the Somali displaced people will tell you that they just ran. They just grabbed whatever was close by and they ran. And afterwards they thought, well, maybe something else would have been more practical or more useful. But then at the time, you're in a panic and you don't know.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously this is a reality for people around the world, which is why you're focusing on it in your Lenten campaign. I mean, what does it mean for people to be displaced?
Well, I think, I mean, it's very traumatic for people to be displaced. And internally displaced people internationally don't have the same rights as refugees. So quite often their plight goes unknown. They're neglected, you know, because they're displaced within their own country. And so they don't always have the same rights or assistance that might be available to refugees who settle in a second country. What we're seeing in Somalia right now is that in the past there were many waves of displacement due to floods or famine or drought or, you know, or conflict. And most times the displaced were rural people who are, I suppose, better able to cope, you know, with reestablishing themselves. They're used to being on the move. Many of them are nomadic and, you know, they set up in a new location, still struggling to survive. But what we're seeing in Somalia at the moment is many of the displaced, like especially the 800,000 who were displaced in the last 2 years, are urban people. And they're not, you know, they don't know how to build a shelter out of sticks and rags. They're not used to surviving, you know, scavenging for food or going to the river for water. And many of them are very traumatized by that. You know, they've left a kind of a middle class existence, urban existence, if you like. And now they're in the middle of nowhere.
I mean, Somalia is a country that we heard a lot of before in the past, but now it's kind of disappeared off the radar again. How do you get that message across that there still are people who need help, who are being displaced in this manner?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, that's the case with many of the forgotten crises in the world. You know, there's a lot of media attention for a short space of time when something dramatic happens, and then it goes off the radar and it's no longer newsworthy and nobody gets to hear about it. Part of Trokra's work in Somalia in the last 17 years has been trying to raise awareness about Somalia, trying to maintain an interest in it, and trying to ensure that the international community's engagement is based on the needs of the ordinary Somalis and not just on political expediency.
And now in your own work, you actually have to work from Kenya. You can't actually be in Somalia.
No, right now it's not very safe for foreigners in Somalia. We've unfortunately lost 32 aid workers in the last 12 months. They've been targeted deliberately or caught up in conflict. 26 aid workers have been kidnapped and 16 of those are still missing. And so we have to take a cautious approach to the work that we do in Somalia.
And for people who have their Trocar boxes or who are supporting Trocar's Lent campaign, what is it that you would say to them to bring home the reality and the need for their support?
Well, I think if you look at the little boy in the Trocar box, Khalid, Khalid is a little 7-year-old boy, and his family were displaced from the capital Mogadishu to Bulahawa, which is a town where Trocar supports the hospital and also the education program. They had a middle class living, you know, they had a middle class life in Somalia. He and his mother and father and his brothers and sisters, they were like you or me. I mean, and when you talk to Khalid's mother, Fales, she'll say to you, you know, I had a life like you. And now look at me. I'm here in a one-roomed hut sharing it with 17 other people. My children are at risk of getting sick. We don't have enough to eat. My husband has been separated from us. He's in the north of the country. We're here. And we don't know when we can go back to our home. And I think what people need to try and stop and think is that, you know, it could be you or me. And, you know, this is not some anonymous poor person in the developing world. You know, this is a family that had a life just like ours and now are faced with these huge challenges and not knowing where they want to go or where they can go in the future and whether they can get back to the life that they once had. And what Trocar is trying to do is, you know, at least support them while they're displaced, providing healthcare, providing education, providing water, so that they survive to go back when the opportunity arises.